99.3 Nigeria Info. It's 22 minutes past 12 and a very beautiful good afternoon to you. It's a beautiful Wednesday over here. The sun rises here. My name's Joyce. We have a guest at 12:30. He'll be joining us. I think it's necessary that both the feeling or the consequence of economic policies being felt by Nigerians need be discussed, and that conversation needs to be elevated and sustained. This afternoon, we'll have the privilege of the presence of a gentleman whom you would find particularly persuasive, clear, and firm by what he believes to be the best interpretations to Nigeria's economic situation and the best ways out of it. It's anybody's guess what has become of the Nigerian problem and what this can become if something isn't done immediately to fix it. I'm ready for a break in about 2 minutes from now, actually less than 2 minutes. And it's a perfect time to let you know that next week on The State, you and I agree that we need to, well, I got quite a number of messages yesterday suggesting that this election process changes. I really thought it would be rather democratic and more people involving if I just threw it open on air and asked people to come in. But we can see how that may not be the best idea. So I'm hoping to change tact a little bit and asking that at least if you're going to be on The State, you should have social media presence. So that way, at least we can ask the people who would love for you to represent their state to kind of monitor your social media posts and see what you're like on social media, maybe even for themselves confirm that you are the best representative for the state. After the break, I'm going to give to us, after the break, we'll be going to our guest. So after a conversation with our guest, I'll be sharing with you the states that would be present here in the studio God-given next week for the face-off on The State on Nigeria Info. So welcome one, welcome all to today's edition of radio, which we hold to be worthy of note. After our conversation with our guest, which should end at 1 p.m., I want to play you, it's actually a sermon, but it's beyond a sermon. It's something that should inspire the individual spirit and collective spirit of a people. It's by Tudor Bismarck, and I think you need to hear it. He's from Zimbabwe. We'll hear his opinion as far as state development goes, and I'll get your reaction to that. In the meantime, once again, welcome. My name's Joyce. We're Nigeria Info. Don't go anywhere. Night 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side, 12:30 exactly on the clock. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Naimeka Onyeka Obiariri, investment banking executive and a development economist on the show this afternoon with us on Nigeria Info. Sir, such a pleasure having you here. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Really. I've been looking forward to this moment. As you can tell, I've been trying to get you down. And I really want to say thanks again. Discussing Nigeria's problem appears to be what many Nigerians are doing at this moment. I think some Nigerians have been able to properly interpret the problem. Others are confused. Others find that the state is the one that's confused. Some even think the state is not necessarily being honest. There's no transparency. It's ambiguous, really. So in order to understand from your perspective of what we could be dealing with, I have a more abstract question to begin. What's the difference between economics on paper and economics in Nigeria? Because I think you go to school, you figure out what economics is, and then you come to Nigeria and the rules don't apply.
That's a very apt question. The economists will tell you ceteris paribus, all things being equal. If this happens, this will happen. All things being equal. And of course, most people within the Nigerian economic space will always apply what they call the neoclassical economic theory. And the neoclassical economic theory, or whatever economic theory that you apply, must have assumptions and basis for it to operate and work from question to answer. I'll give you an example. Look at what happened at the MPC meeting at the central bank. The assumption is for you to rein in inflation, for you to achieve price stability, foreign stability, you have to mop up liquidity within the system and then reduce the purchasing power of the people to purchase the dollar. But that is not true. And those assumptions do not hold when it comes to a state like Nigeria. In economies where those things could actually provide and produce good results, 95 to 99% of the economy of those countries, all the operators and participators are captured within the formal economy. So that when you apply one tool or instrument to do one thing or the other, you may likely achieve success, even if it is 60%. And again, leadership in those places and their institutions are very strong and transparent. You will not see a Joe Biden asking the governor of the central bank in America to print $20 trillion and hand over to him for him to go and spend without any reason behind it. In the U.S., you will not see Joe Biden looting $10 billion, appointing his sons and his daughters into place of power, dishing out monies anyhow you like without accounting for it. You, of course, we heard Michelle Obama tell us that even in the White House, there are limits to what they can eat and what they can drink. If you go beyond budget, you pay from your personal money. So the assumptions in those other countries hold clearly true, because those assumptions are that transparent institutions, transparent governance, people are accountable, these ones are very, very strong, and when you put A, B will come out. But in Nigeria, it's not the case. Even if you squeeze out all the liquidities in the market, deny liquidity to honest entrepreneurs and all those stuff, what of the 43 trillion, 45 trillion naira that have been budgeted to be expended in the year, fiscal year 2024, in the hand of those from the federal government to the state and local government? How do we stop them from deploying half of it, as they usually do annually, to buy the dollar at whatever rate that they can get it and hide it either under their basement or use it to buy houses in Dubai, in Maryland, in New York, in London? Of course, it's estimated that over $18 billion worth of properties in Dubai belong to Nigerians. How did they fund it? It's taking naira from here to buy dollar and ship it out to go on there. So economics is a social science, and the principle still holds good. The assumptions still hold good. In an economy where there are transparency, where we have transparency, there is institutional strength, where you have leadership that are very transparent, very accountable, very honest, very sincere, very patriotic. But where you have an economy where the institutions are very, very weak, where you have, sorry for my use of word, political bandits all over the space, seeking for what they will steal, what they will destroy, and what they will kill, it cannot hold. Sometimes I feel sorry for those guys at the Central Bank of Nigeria. Yemi Cardozo is new. With all due respect, he has played well in the private sector. But I think he's grappling with forces. And of course, it's not everybody that will have the kind of forthrightness and boldness like the few of us to look the powers in the eyes and tell them what they should hear and what they're supposed to hear in very unpalatable terms. You don't romance mediocrity. You don't romance wickedness. You don't romance iniquity. You say it the way it is, just like Prophet Micah's of this world. It may be painful. It may be hard. But when they hear the truth and know the truth, is it true that you know and apply that will set us free? He has been trying as much as possible to be very diplomatic, use instruments that are not supposed to be used for some. What is grappling with is just 10% of the problem. 90% of the problems are on the physical side. And until we address those fundamental issues, anybody telling you that what we are getting now is what we are seeing now, just elixir and opiates. I tell you an example. Somebody has cancer, and or a tumor in the brain, and the tumor sometimes causes slight or needle headaches. Of course, if you take analgesics, the headache may subside. But until the tumor is uprooted from the source, the headache cannot be permanently cured. Basically, all that Yemi Cardozo has been doing since he was appointed is trying to apply a laser and opiate to a matter that is fundamental and foundational, have not been tackled at the root.
All right, then. So let's go into the belly of the matter. This administration has been in governance for about a year. Now, Nigerians, particularly those that call the radio station, many are judged this administration to be somewhat pretentious. From your perspective, how do you judge expenses, policies, budgeting, investments, if any, or at least attempts to gain investments into the Nigerian economy today to boost it?
To be honest, I see what they are trying to do, just like a 60-year-old pot-bellied man trying to claim that he wants to run and break the world record that has been set by Usain Bolt. No matter how much he tries, no matter how much intentions, whatever his intentions are, no matter how much he tries to motivate himself and then nudge himself on, he cannot break the record. Everything that is needed to break that record is not there, and that is factual. Basically, anybody who says that they are being pretentious cannot be faulted because their actions do not in any way belie their body languages. Their actions are totally out of sync with their rhetorics. How can a government that wrote in its manifesto right from day one, oh, we are going to remove subsidy, we are going to tackle corruption, we are going to implement the Orasanya report, and then you assumed office, the first thing you did was to increase the number of ministries from 42 to 45. For the first sign that Nigerians will have seen that you meant well was reduce the ministry from 42 to 20. Now, the next thing, you have a presidential fleet that was bogus, cost us about 52 billion naira to service and maintain annually. You did not reduce it. You appointed, look at the media space. You have SA Media, SSA Digital, SSA this, SSA this. All manner of convoluted titles just to make sure that we create this I chop, we chop mentality of satisfying all her hungers on a political calling. It is not right. In a country that is bleeding, in a country where you have today 197 million Nigerians who are actually in poverty, for those who do not know, over 92% of Nigerians earn less than 100,000 naira a month. NDIC have a record, which was established in 2021. Out of the 117 million accounts in the banking industry with BVN, only about 0.6%, less than 1%, have up to 500,000 naira deposits in it. As of today, based on the World Bank indicator of $64 per month, which is the minimum threshold for poverty, 197 million Nigerians are under poverty for no just cause, for no cause. You saw the report of Nestle. Nestle had suffered a loss of 195 billion naira in 2023. Shareholders fund wiped out. They are in negative of 78 billion naira. Actually, they made a profit in the year, but they got wiped out by factors that are exogenous to their business. They did their business well, transparently produced, manufactured, sold, created tens of thousands of direct jobs and hundreds of thousands of indirect jobs. Did everything right. They got wiped out by external factors that were beyond them. External factors caused by the profligacy, the criminality, the irresponsibility and incompetence of those in the three tiers and three arms of government in Nigeria. Their actions in every ramification does not show people who are sincere. They handed over 167 billion naira to the National Assembly. I took our time to look at, which is very atrocious, 70 billion relocation allowance. Are they stranded? Are they homeless? 40 billion to buy SUVs in a country where we don't have roads. 57 billion to do rice palliatives when they did not even share the rice. And the most atrocious thing, look at the budget of 2024. It does not show people who actually meant what they are saying. Budgeted 334 billion for National Assembly, up from 120 billion the previous year. And if you look at that as a percentage of the budget of 28.7 trillion, you will see it's about 1.2%. Even 1.8% of the budgeted revenue of 16 trillion. Compared to the US, the budget of the US National Assembly, total, both Rep and Senate, was $3 billion, compared to national budget of $6.9 trillion, which is 0.004%. If you are to apply the same principles from the same democracy that we borrow from in the US, National Assembly should not get any allocation more than 15 billion naira. But here they have 344 billion naira that most of them will be looted and used to pursue dollar. That is where we have found ourselves. And of a truth, if we are to make this country work, we should go back to the 1963 constitutional framework. That constitutional framework that made public office to be part-time, that attached the pegs of a public office to that of the civil service. At a time, we had men like Sir Louis or the Mayor Ojukwu.